Honorable Court is now in session. Please be seated and come to order.
Oh, good afternoon. Our case for argument is Illinois Commerce Commission and others versus FERC. So, Mr. Berlow.
May it please the Court, I'm Illinois Assistant Attorney General Cliff Berlow. I represent the Illinois Commerce Commission, and along with my colleague Ken Jaffe, we'll be presenting argument on behalf of a group of parties challenging FERC's decision in this case. The governing legal principle here is a straightforward one. If FERC wants to socialize the costs of building new 500 kilovolt transmission in the eastern parts of PJM, it has to first demonstrate that the cost that socialization would impose on western ratepayers, northern Illinois, western Ohio, will be at least roughly commensurate with the benefits.
Well, you seem to argue, maybe I misunderstand you, you seem to argue that these 500 kilovolt transmission lines in the east will have absolutely no effect on the reliability of Commonwealth Edison and these other western utilities?
No, Judge Posner, that's not our position. Our position is that there will be benefits in the sense that a network is a network, as this court said in ICC.
Okay, so what will the benefits be?
We think the benefits will be trivial when compared to...
Well, what numbers?
Well, the simple answer to that question is that, as FERC has argued, they're not quantifiable.
I'm not asking what FERC has argued. I'm asking what your estimate is of the benefits to ComEd and these other utilities that you represent from the from these new transmission lines.
Judge Posner, we don't have a dollar value estimate.
I don't understand you. Why you don't have the dollar? Why you don't have an estimate?
Well, what we have is the beneficiary.
No, I'm not interested in what you have. Why don't you have numbers? I'm going to ask the same question to the to FERC. They have numbers. They don't make a lot of sense to me. But what about, where are your numbers?
Well, our numbers lie in the beneficiary pays analysis, which tells us...
I want
us
your numbers.
Well...
What are the dollar benefits to your, you and, you know, the companies from having a more reliable a system?
We will concede based that there is about $3.6 million worth of benefit to the western ratepayers of building these new facilities. That's based on the beneficiary pays analysis.
No, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the benefits to your companies of having a more reliable system. Now, Commonwealth Edison has outages and surges and other failures, and those failures impose costs. And the question is, how much will the frequency of those failures be reduced as a result of these projects, and what is the dollar value in costs saved of that lesser frequency?
Judge Posner, there's no estimate in the record as
well,
to
why haven't you made an estimate in the record? You say the benefits are, well, you use a method that isn't an appropriate method. But it seems to me both sides have an obligation to quantify the benefits to these Western companies of having a more robust transmission system.
Well, and the best estimate I can give you, Judge Posner, is that $3.6 million
figure.
In
this case, our opinion was, what, 2009?
That's correct, Judge Posner.
So we're 5 years down the track. So where are the data?
Well, the data lies in the fact...
What have you been doing the last 5 years?
Well, Judge Posner, I think in fairness, we have quantified, at least from a causation perspective, and shown...
I don't know what you're talking about, causation perspective. Well, I have a very simple question. There are going to be somewhat fewer outages and surges and so on, as you acknowledge, as a result of these new facilities, even though they're in the east. So the question is, how much will these, you know, reliability violations the commission costs them be reduced, And what is the value of that reduction?
And that marginal impact, Judge Posner, that study hasn't been conducted.
Why not?
Well, and my explanation for that is my understanding is that it's exceedingly difficult, and it's one that, that, as far as I'm aware, cannot be performed on at least a marginal basis in the way your question's envisions.
Why not?
I don't understand all the engineering material that would go
into
that.
Well, you should.
Well, I suppose I should.
So it sounds like a straightforward cost-benefit analysis.
That's correct.
Now, why can't it be conducted?
Well, we have conducted it. We've measured.
You haven't conducted it.
Well, we've done.
Because I asked you a very concrete question. What is the cost savings to these customers that can be anticipated from these new transmission lines?
Judge Posner, from a reliability standpoint, if you're measuring the entire benefit of these projects, only on that basis, that number hasn't been quantified by either side in this case. And not even FERC has represented that those benefits, the marginal benefit of installing these lines from a reliability standpoint, is so great as to justify the $480 million charge it's asking to levy against the Western ratepayers.
Well, your argument is based on the so-called distribution factor analysis, right?
Partially. We're also relying on the economic study.
And FERC examined that and rejected it, I think, after an adequate consideration.
Well, Judge Cudahy, the answer there is that we're relying on that because it accurately measures whose use or overuse of the existing system created the need for these new facilities. And so we know that the Western utilities don't need these new lines. They didn't create the need.
As a matter of fact, ComEd is the subject of a lot of concern here, I suppose, because they're energizing the lights in the courtroom. But they're not even a party to this lawsuit. Exelon, which is their holding company, was a party to the proceedings in the commission, but they're not a party here either.
Well, Judge Cudahy, I would point out that Exelon's interest in this case and the public interest are not one and the same. We're here representing the Illinois ratepayers who are ultimately being asked to foot the bill here. Exelon is concerned primarily, from Exelon's perspective, they can pass all of these costs along to Illinois ratepayers, and it's Exelon's decision to be affiliated.
Of course, Exelon also owns Philadelphia Electric.
As well as
known
Baltimore
as
Electric.
Pico, isn't it?
Yes, as well as Baltimore Electric. And
yeah,
it's
so
interesting.
They're at both ends of the spectrum, but.
It is. And
they're not a party to this lawsuit at this point.
Well.
Which kind of bothers me since we're talking about them all the time.
Well,
they're not even interested enough to become a party.
Well, I think they're interested in the sense that their interests fall on both lines of the socialization divide, as you say, and they will actually benefit.
Socialization, that's another loaded word.
Well,
postage stamp. It's the same thing. But.
There are different terms. Rolled in rate is used at times. Postage stamp. Socialization has been used in these cases. There's an inconsistency both within the commission and out of the commission in the appellate courts. But ultimately, by building these new lines, Exelon will be able to sell more power to the east. It will relieve congestion, and they will be able to profit more from building those lines. Western ratepayers will not see a dime of that.
Do you know how often energy flows from east to west as far as, say, Illinois?
Setting aside the one 765-kilovolt line from Indiana to Illinois.
South Bend.
Yes. Area. Other than that one line, there is no evidence in the record that it ever happens. There's not one shred of evidence showing that power ever flows from New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, all the way to Illinois.
So even during outage times, say, Exelon looks to Western utilities for
that. That's absolutely correct. And it's also worth noting that when outages happen, these cascading blackouts that have been discussed in this case.
Didn't the commission have a 25% figure?
It based that only upon the flow from Indiana to Illinois, and it said if you look at that line, you can extrapolate that energy flows all the way from the east all the way to the west 25% of the time, but there's simply no evidence to support that view. So it's something of... There is evidence against.
I'm just wondering what evidence you provided with regard to reliability.
With regard to reliability, I think we've conceded is that there may be some, as you say, the marginal improvement in reliability is going
but
to be a
you've never tried to quantify
We have not tried to quantify
it. Which bothers me.
No, and I appreciate that, Judge Posner.
Well, in the, what is it, Order 100 or 1000, they use a hybrid method, I assume, of it, which quantifies in some way the general benefit, doesn't it?
Well, the new hybrid methodology, I will say, is something that the Illinois Commerce Commission actually opposed when it was in FERC. So we're skeptical that it does meet, that methodology does meet the roughly commensurate standard. That was agreed upon by the various transmission holders, and the state wasn't a party to that settlement and opposed this.
But in that hybrid method, some general benefit of reliability is measured, isn't it?
Yes. And well, I think that what FERC would say is reliability is folded into the hybrid methodology because there's a socialization component. And according to FERC, socialization essentially always will capture every benefit that could conceivably be out there. And so it's sort of over-inclusive. That seems to be FERC's central theory for the hybrid methodology.
Well, hybrid is interesting, but the trouble with cost allocation is you can get any results you want depending on what method you use.
Well,
to change the method, you get a different result.
I'm not sure that's fair, Judge Cudahy. I mean, the models are complicated, but they are still mathematical and engineering models.
Where are your models?
Well, our model is the beneficiary pays methodology.
Yes, I know, but that means you have no model of the reliability benefits to these Western utilities.
Well, I think the simple answer to that, Judge Posner, at least from my perspective, is that we know certain things about how energy flows. And cascading outages almost always follow the directional flow of power. And so an outage in the east is almost certainly not going to cascade to the west.
If you want to try to prove that these transmission facilities won't do anything for outages, surges, what have you, in the west, fine. You have to have evidence.
Well,
just say it.
We have evidence in terms of the engineering rules, the laws of physics. What I think you're getting at is we haven't quantified it, and I submit that that is a gap in our evidence. I see I'm into my rebuttal time.
Well, ComEd just joined PJM 2 years ago, didn't they?
ComEd did join PJM, but that was ComEd's decision, and the state is barred from having influence there.
They joined. They said it would improve our reliability.
Well, no, ComEd said it would create a market for it to sell its energy, of which the public gets no benefit, if I can reserve the balance of my time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burwell. Mr. Jaffe?
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. If I could try to address this question of benefit from the new lines. The parties who supported the beneficiary pays approach did introduce evidence. The evidence that we introduced was the planning studies that PJM performed to identify why they were including these very lines in their plans. And what those planning studies shows, they identified specific overloads, all of them in the eastern part of PJM. There's an example on page 15 of our reply brief, which shows that one of the largest projects remaining, the Susquehanna-Roseland line, is designed to solve overloads, virtually all of which occur in New Jersey. They're all along the Delaware River and to the east. While I suppose it might be conceivable because, as this court said, a network is a network, that one could hypothesize a way there might be some benefit to the Western utilities, the evidence that we introduced shows that the benefit goes to the Eastern utilities. And if I may, I would suggest that under the standard...
Well, is it your proposition that there is zero benefit to the Western utilities from these 500 kilovolt projects?
It is our position that there is...
You have to say yes or no.
Yes, based on this record, Your Honor.
I don't know what you mean, based on this record.
What I mean is that there is no evidence in
this
record.
Well, why didn't you put in evidence? That's what I don't understand.
Because we were not trying to show a benefit to the Western utilities, Your Honor. Our position was that
the benefit... Yeah, but if you want to contest their showing, you have to have your own evidence.
And we did, Your Honor. Our evidence was of two parts. As I said, it was the PJM planning studies showing which utilities created the overloads. We also put in PJ's economic benefit studies, which showed that those same lines reduce energy costs to the Eastern utilities by up to $2.7 billion per year and increase energy costs to the customers of the utilities.
Well, energy costs is not reliability. That's a different category.
It is not. And to be fair, utility executives and regulators have long struggled with how to quantify reliability benefits. The engineers have.
Why? I don't get that.
Well, among other things.
I mean, reliability. You build an airplane, something, right? You have to know about the reliability and how long the engine lasts and all that, or else you get crashes.
And one
way. I'm sure this is difficult. Why can't you have a study which says the frequency of outages, surge, etc., is going to be 5% less, and that's going to produce a cost savings of X millions or something? Why is that such a big deal?
Well, Your Honor, there is no such study in the record, and again...
Why isn't there? Because we decided this case 5 years ago.
Well, Your Honor, what FERC did was it asked PJM to provide as much information as it had. PJM did so.
What were you doing in this 5 years?
Well, most of that...
Just saying, not, you say zero, you say it's irrelevant because you have your preferred beneficiary pays approach.
Your Honor, we do not say it is irrelevant. What we did during that period, most of which we spent waiting for FERC to decide the case, was we put in evidence showing why these facilities were built, thereby identifying the Eastern utilities as that beneficiaries in that sense. We also put in evidence showing that they received the economic benefit
at
the expense.
That's all quite irrelevant. The question is, how much benefit have your people derived from these transmission lines? That's what you have to say. It's not zero, and you don't have a number for it.
Your Honor, it's our position that the burden in this case, being a Section 206 case, was on FERC to support the cost methodology it wanted to impose. Its methodology assumed that the benefits were equally shared. As I think your questions indicate, it is very clear that they did not satisfy that burden. They introduced no evidence showing that the benefits were evenly shared. To the contrary, they simply presumed that that was the case. You can see that most starkly in footnote 140 of the remand order on page 573.
But the problem is, you may very well be right, but what is the alternative, though?
The alternative, Your Honor, is to vacate FERC's order and leave the existing methodology, the beneficiary
pays. No, that's not right, because if these 500 kilovolt transmission lines do confer reliability benefits on the Western utilities, those Western utilities should pay for that.
If they confer benefits that are roughly commensurate with cost,
then we
agree.
They don't have to be commensurate with anything. All they have to be is costs, that is benefits to your companies. You should pay for those benefits.
We agree.
And the question is what they are.
We
agree. A question on which you're not helpful at all, because you never conducted a study of this.
Your Honor, with all respect, I agree with everything you said. We should pay for benefits we receive on a roughly commensurate basis. FERC, which bore the burden of establishing what the benefits to the Western utilities are, failed utterly to carry that burden and failed, therefore, to establish a basis for changing the existing methodology, let alone for installing socialization.
So what's the next step? They do another study or what?
That, I believe, is up to the Commission, Your Honor. This Court, I believe, based on the standard it articulated, should vacate the matter, send it back to FERC. FERC can always institute a new Section 206 proceeding if it thinks that it has a basis for adjusting the cost allocation method. I would point out, though, remember that the argument we're having today concerns what FERC calls a locked-in period. There are 14 projects that are affected by the cost allocation methodology here. As Judge Pinder indicated, there is a new hybrid methodology that applies going forward, and that will apply to all
new projects. God knows how many lawsuits we're going to get out of that one.
Well, Actually, the time for review of that has passed, Your Honor. There will be no lawsuits on that.
Well, open the door to something or other.
Thanks. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Jaffe. Mr. Solomon?
May it please the Court, Robert Solomon for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Following up immediately on the last point I heard, I certainly hope that there are no further appeals arising out of the Commission's new hybrid method articulated in its Order 1000 proceeding. That's the proceeding where the Commission adopted the hybrid approach, which is 50% a solution-based distribution factor analysis and 50% a postage stamp rate. The Illinois
it tends to support my observation that if you don't get the right answer with one method, you try another method that gives you a better answer. And the cost allocation is not a very scientific process.
It is certainly not scientific. And
well, that hybrid thing, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I hope this...
Look, I'm very disappointed in your opinion. I mean you personally. This opinion is so full of verbiage and has so little, you know, concrete information because nothing is explained because you think we do FERC speak. Now, what do you mean, for example, looking at page 38 of your opinion, you say, with all these apologies, it's difficult, it's this, all this hand-wringing, the ISO RTO metrics report provides estimates of several categories of savings, 78 to 98 million in annual savings by using redispatch procedures to maintain reliability rather than power sales curtailments. Now, what does that mean?
Well, the Commission did rely in part on the 2011.
I'm asking you what it means.
Okay.
I read you something. Tell me what it means.
Okay. We gather from the 2011 metrics report that the avoided curtailments of $78 to $98 million means avoided outages, avoided disruptions. The Commission did not rely only on the 2011 metric report, but it also relied upon the testimony and the evidence.
Okay, so $78 to $98 million. What are redispatch procedures?
Well, the redispatch procedures identified are those necessary to alleviate a constraint on an otherwise overloaded...
I don't know. What is a redispatch procedure?
Well, we think it means what the Department of Energy and the North American Electric Reliability Commission said in its study, which is on pages 584 to 85 of the JA, which is another quantification of outage costs. The Commission relied upon every single scrap of analysis or study presented by the parties or presented by outside authorities.
Okay, so there are going to be fewer outages. Now, and the annual savings, how are they calculated?
Well, the annual savings, the Commission calculated the congestion costs that deter the long-distance economic transfer of power from the west to the east or to the east to the west. And I do want to clarify that
annual savings are to whom?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
The 78 to 98 million, who earns those savings? Who gets those savings?
Those will be earned by both Western utilities and Eastern utilities. The power flow...
Yes, but we're talking about the charge to the Western utilities.
Yes, but we're talking...
How much of that will they obtain?
We don't know exactly how much...
I don't care exactly. How much approximately?
Approximately, the benefits will flow in proportion to the demands the Western utilities
That's
make
not
on
an
the
answer.
System.
How much of the 78 to 98 million will be of this savings will be obtained by the Western utilities?
My answer is that the savings will be proportional to the demand.
Oh, come on, answer my question.
Will answer the question the way the court answered the question in the second Illinois case, which is that there are limitations on calculability.
I don't understand that. You obviously have historical records of outages in this western region. Now, presumably, you think that these 500 kilovolt projects will reduce the frequency of these outages in the western regions, right?
Yes, we do.
And how much will they, by what percentage will they reduce the frequency of these outages?
I cannot isolate the savings utility by utility or region by region.
You've got a history of frequencies in the western region. Now you have new equipment coming online, which reduces the number of outages. So I'm just asking you, what's the estimated percentage reduction of outages in the western region?
Well, the commission not only made an aggregated assessment of savings and benefits across the region,
but
also...
What region are we talking about?
Well, I'm saying that we also made a particular assessment as to Commonwealth Edison, which is the westernmost utility.
So how much of this $78 to $98 million is allocated to Commonwealth Edison?
That particular report, the metrics report, did not break down the savings utility by utility.
Did it do it by region, by western versus eastern, or any sort of allocation?
No, it did not, but I do want to point out
that... Why didn't FERC do it then?
Well, the FERC did do it. It relied
on... All right, so then you ought to have a number representing the percentage reduction in outages estimate in the western region estimated to result from these new 500 kilovolt projects.
The commission does have numbers. It based those numbers on the 20 studies that are identified on JA836. These are the documents and the studies and analyses.
So answer my question, right? There's a reduction in the... There's going to be a reduction in frequency of outages in the western region. And these reductions carry with them financial benefits. So you ought to be able to give me, or have in this report, a figure representing the savings to ComEd and the other western utilities from these new transmission lines.
Well, the metrics report itself did not break down
I
the savings.
I don't care what the metrics report...
Well, that's what I'm getting at. We went beyond the metrics report to look at the other studies and analyses that
Why
the commission...
Why don't you do your own study? Doesn't FERC have a staff?
Yes, we do.
This seems, look, it seems pretty elementary. Estimate the reduction in frequency of outages and multiply that by the number of, millions of dollars that an outage costs, and you have a savings for ComEd. That's what this report should be.
Well, the commission did not start fresh. The commission was responding to the proposal of the KJM system operator.
Well, we hope it was responding to our remand.
Yes, certainly, Your Honor.
Which said that you have to have numbers.
Yes.
You don't have numbers.
No, we do have numbers.
But you haven't broken them down by Western versus Eastern.
We have not broken them down by Western versus Eastern.
Because you're committed to this postage stamp.
No, we are not committed to this postage stamp, and I believe that
is... Or to an arbitrary combination of it with something else. Rather than doing a cost-benefit analysis to show the benefits from these new projects in the Western region.
The commission makes a determination based upon the record, based upon the presentations of the parties.
The FERC makes the record. It's not an appellate tribunal.
That
You're
is correct.
You're responsible to make the record.
Yes.
And the record should be the record of a cost-benefit analysis.
Yes.
And
admittedly...
It's missing.
Yes. And in the prior proceeding, the commission did not have that record as
you
this panel...
You still don't have a record that allocates these savings to the western region.
No, we do have a record that allows us to make an articulable...
That's why I asked you a simple question. The $78 to $98 million from the redispatch procedures, how much of that represents a benefit to these Western companies?
I believe that we can calculate a benefit of 15% of that to Commonwealth Edison, because the Commission's understanding of the regional market is the system operator's understanding of the regional market, that when you have facilities above a kilovolt threshold, and in this case the Commission drew the line between 345 and 500, at some point beyond that line, the benefits are distributed equitably and equally among all of the utilities in the region. The PJM system operator plans the regional network.
I've lost you. The 15%, is that the percentage of outages that that Commonwealth Edison will be avoiding?
No, it's a percentage of demand. It's a percentage of load on the system. Right now, the flows are primarily west to east. The Commission found that the flows are approximately, right now, 70% west to east and
30%. Has it ever been any other way? Has it ever been east to west?
I don't believe
it
has.
In the light of PJM.
But the
And wouldn't there have to be a major population shift and use?
Not necessarily a population shift.
Well, a usage shift from east to west for it ever to go the
right. There could be a usage shift.
There's some discussion of offshore wind project, of which I think there's one that's been completed up in New England. It's not PJM, but.
Exactly, Your Honor. As the Commission found in the remand order on pages 578 to 580, and as PJM explained on pages 814 to 819 of its 2010 regional expansion plan, right now offshore wind is being developed in coastal areas, and it could be, as we've seen in the Midwest, as to the multi-value projects, that public policy might turn such that Western utilities obtain the benefit of importing Eastern
getting,
wind power.
We had that case. They're getting them from the far west.
Yes. And
where there are huge wind supplies.
Yes, and the Commission found...
Because land is so cheap.
Right, but we're talking about transmission planning 15 years into
the
future.
Well, your opponent said that the only east to west is, what, from Ohio to Indiana?
Well, I disagree. The Commission found...
Well, if you're talking offshore, of course, it's coming out of the ocean. I mean,
yes, which would be primarily east to west.
And that's coming to Illinois?
Not yet, but it may be over the next 15 years, and it may be over the next 40 years, which is the useful lifetime of the facilities.
PJM still centrally dispatched, or what's its...
PJM is centrally dispatched, and
no,
when
it
makes
was, I know, but
right, and when it makes decisions about transmission planning and identifying high voltage facilities to alleviate transmission constraints, yes, it looks at the place where you have the reliability violations, but its focus is much broader. It is looking down into the future to look at potential generation retirements. It's also looking at the fact that public policy considerations might very well change, as they have in the Midwest Independent System Operator.
But you're saying now that ComEd and these others, they're going to be charged, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, because maybe someday wind from the Atlantic Ocean is going to be transmitting energy from the east?
That is one possible benefit. The agency is entitled to make predictions.
But you charge them hundreds of millions. They're not predicting that. It's just a possibility. No prediction.
Fundamentally, the issue is about identifying benefits and seeing if the
it's
benefits
so
are roughly
loose,
commensurate.
Especially when you're talking postage, a most unfortunate allusion to the post office.
I am not disagreeing with that, and for purposes of briefing, we referred to the standard word.
Can you just charge hundreds of millions of dollars to a company by saying, well, maybe someday even though there's all this wind power being developed in the far west, maybe, who knows, from the Atlantic Ocean.
Well,
let's electricity to Chicago. And
well, they do have a farm up in Cape Cod, don't they, right now?
Yes, the Cape Wind Project. But let me move away from what might happen to what is happening right now. What the Commission found is that there are a bundle of benefits being realized, not just simply by eastern utilities, but western utilities, reduced transmission line losses, reduced operating
so
reserves.
So where are the numbers?
The numbers were provided by the Commission on page 583.
But there's nothing here about how they're calculated.
What the Commission did was identify the 20 studies that it officially noticed, placed into the electronic record immediately after the issuance of the remand order, and gave the other parties the opportunity to rebut. There are numbers independent of the metrics report. The Commission found that line losses will be over $500 million in reduction, that planning reserves will be hundreds of millions of dollars.
What did it base that on?
Excuse me?
What did it base that on?
With respect to line losses on JA-589, the Commission...
Is there any concrete example you could give of a cost-benefit analysis, the results of which are incorporated in, reflected in the opinion? See, you on the other side, they're so vague. You never give the judges a chance to see how realistic is what the Commission doing. Can it say, yes, we have historical records of outages, we can be confident they're going to be reduced by 10 or 15%, we know what these outages cost, we can therefore predict the savings to ComEd's customers, and not be so
Your
nice
Honor, Your Honor, the court asked for numbers, and the Commission provided the numbers, and I asked...
But the numbers without enough backup information to enable us to evaluate the validity of the analyses.
But the Commission provided the backup studies and analyses that make up the numbers. Pages 583 to 589 of the JA, which is the order on remand, provides the numbers and provides the empirical studies that
but
the court found.
Is this in the appendix you're talking about?
No, this is not in the appendix. This is in the order on remand, where we identify the reduction in congestion costs, we identify the reduction...
That's the thing I'm looking at, right? The order, the March 30th, 2012 order.
Correct.
Yeah, but it's so vague. Well, it's got numbers, but it doesn't ever say how these numbers were arrived at.
Well, the Commission identified...
That's what bothers me, you know?
No, with respect to the reduction in congestion costs, outage costs, planning reserves, and line losses, the Commission cites to the studies that it compiles on page 836. The principal basis for the Commission's analyses were the numbers provided by PJM in its annual transmission planning exercises, but the Commission also relied upon the U.S.-Canada 2003 Northeastern Outage Report, which indicated, among other things, that the cascading outages resulting from the loss of the 345 kilovolt lines could have been arrested by the presence of 500 and 765 kilovolt lines. The Commission relied upon a Global Energy Decisions report, which indicates annual production cost savings based upon the integration of Commonwealth Edison, AEP, and Dayton. We rely upon the...
So was there an evidentiary hearing to examine the validity of these reports, or were they just treated as
petitioners,
you know, like internet research or something?
No, this is no mere internet research, and petitioners had ample opportunity to rebut any of these studies or to criticize any of the numbers extrapolated from those studies. The Commission said, here are all of the studies and analyses that it is relying upon. Here is the basis for all of the numbers that it is compiling. Put all of these materials in an easily available electronic form, invited the parties to demonstrate any problems or any concerns, and we heard none from petitioners. They only rely upon the results of the particular study that those particular petitioners favor, which the Commission found grossly underestimated the benefits that truly flow to Western utilities.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Solomon. So, Mr. Berlow and Mr. Jaffe?
Every one of the benefits that FERC identified to Western utilities in its decision were calculated on a PJM-wide, region-wide basis. And the only way it was able to allocate any of those benefits...
Well, now, are you saying... So Mr. Solomon refers to a lot of studies cited by FERC. Are you saying that none of them look at the Western region of PJM separately from the Eastern?
Not one. Not a single one of them do. Every single one of them looked at a PJM-wide basis, and the only way FERC was able to allocate any of those benefits to Western ratepayers was by assuming that there would be benefits to Western ratepayers. It was entirely circular. What's more, what each of those calculation purports to measure is irrelevant to whether or not these lines will be built. Four of them establish only that Western ratepayers benefit as a result of ComEd's affiliation with PJM. They have nothing to do with the construction of these lines. The other ones only measure the degree to
which... We're talking about benefits, not the reason for building them.
Well, but the benefits, you can't compare, calculate the benefits.
Well, reliability is certainly a benefit.
It certainly is, but you can't measure the benefit of building a single line based upon the value of overall PJM membership. If that's true, socialization is always appropriate because the cost of any one project...
Incidentally, socialization or postage stamp or whatever you want to call it is a form of average pricing, isn't it?
Well, it is a form of average pricing, but...
Average pricing is used throughout the whole process of cost allocation.
But with respect to the cost causation principle, there is a statutory right to just and reasonable rates, and it is very clear, both from the D.C. Circuit and here, that it is not just and reasonable to require people to pay for the construction of facilities from which they don't get anything out of. And you can't quantify
the
benefit.
Whether anybody's getting out of it. Just Poldner just trying to figure out what somebody gets out of it, that's all.
Well, and what FERC has come up with is evidence which demonstrates that that ComEd benefits from its affiliation with PJM and that demonstrates that 500
kilowatts... Well, that's certainly worth a lot to ComEd.
We already pay for those benefits through separate charges on our tariff. So, and then the other thing that that FERC has demonstrated is that 500 kilovolt transmission operates more efficiently than 345 kilovolt transmission. That doesn't tell us how one penny's benefit gets from...
Incidentally, how much of this over 500 kilovolt transmission is there in the eastern part of the United States?
There's quite a bit in the eastern, and there's not one line in the western part of the region. In the West, we use 345 kilovolt transmission. It's all used in the East. All of these facilities will be built in the East.
Well, you're talking about PJM. I'm talking about the whole country. I didn't make that very clear. But
oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's not a common voltage.
It has been, at least in PJM, and that's really what I can speak to. It's been the practice in PJM for generations, Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, because they consulted together for years about how to build their network. When these three networks came together, the AEP network, the 765, the 500 kilovolt on the east, and the 345 kilovolt in the west, they were all came together and they were different voltages. And as a result, what you're seeing here is that the construction of facilities in the east, FERC is presuming, will benefit the west, and it doesn't have any basis for doing so.
Okay.
Thank you.
And court will take the case under advisement. Thank you very much to both sides.